Our love for God also moves us to share the kingdom good news with our neighbors. In what specific ways can we show love to those we meet in our ministry? Please listen carefully to our circuit overseer, Brother Mika Koivukoski, as he presents the talk, Love Your Fellow Man as Yourself.
How well would you say people know their neighbors? You know, there used to be a time where we would run over to the neighbor's place if we were running low on some ingredients while doing some baking. But if we did that today, we might scare them. You know, it's true, many people today hardly even know who their neighbors are. Consider, for example, the tragic case of a man named Wolfgang Dirks. He lived in an apartment building, and it was reported that although the 17 families who shared that same apartment building as Wolfgang had noticed his absence, no one thought to check on him. So when the landlord finally turned up, he discovered a skeleton seated in front of a television set. Wolfgang had been dead for 5 years. Now that's a sad testimony to the breakdown of neighborly care and interest. It's extreme, it's true, but it's not isolated. So as servants of Jehovah God, how do we feel about our neighbors? Well, Jehovah wants us to do more than simply get to know them, but rather notice what Jehovah instructed his servants to do at our theme verse at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. So this is the verse that shows up on our review question, Leviticus 19, verse 18. It says, you must not take vengeance nor hold a grudge against the sons of your people, and you must love your fellow man as yourself. I am Jehovah. So there's the key. More than just knowing them, Jehovah wants us to love our fellow man as ourself, our fellow man or our neighbor. And this command is equally important today when we consider the golden rule that Jesus gave, that we want to treat others the way we would like to be treated. But notice this expression in verse 18. It says, love your fellow man as yourself. As yourself. So that expression indicates that a proper love of self is normal. It's desirable. How do we express it? Please turn to Ephesians 5 and 29. How do we express a proper love of ourselves? See if you can pick out the two ways we do that. Ephesians 5:29 says, for no man ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cherishes it, just as the Christ does the congregation. So did you notice the two ways? We feed ourselves, we cherish ourselves. We take care of ourselves. So in this discussion, we're going to look at how we can feed and cherish those we meet in the ministry. So first, how do we feed those in the ministry as we feed ourselves? Four ways. The first is we want our food that we eat to be safe and clean. So how do we apply that in the ministry? We want to base our message on the clean, pure word of Jehovah, not on our own opinion or on popular opinion. Jesus set the example, John chapter 7 and verse 16, if you please turn there. John chapter 7 and verse 16, how did Jesus ensure that the food was clean, the spiritual food? John 7:16, Jesus answered them and said, what I teach is not mine, but belongs to him who sent me. So just think, Jesus, the wisest man to ever walk the earth, think of all the wisdom of his own that he could have shared with his neighbors, and yet he always taught Jehovah's word. He didn't direct attention to himself, he directed all attention to his Father. And so we do the same by using God's word in our ministry. One brother expressed it this way: if you were preaching from house to house with Jehovah God himself, would you do all the talking? Would you do all the doors? Or would you let Jehovah speak? Would you let him take some of the doors? Well, I think we know the answer to that question, right? So when we use God's word in our ministry, we're allowing Jehovah to speak to the householder. The second way we feed others in our ministry is that we appreciate regular meals, right? We don't like to go long periods of time without eating. And so similarly, we want interested ones to eat spiritual food regularly. And this is a challenge because people are busy, they have different schedules, they're harder and harder to find at home. So it's helpful for us to get contact information of those whom we find. We've heard the question asked at our midweek meeting following interest: do you text? Do you text? You know, something as simple as texting someone who's interested could make all the difference in us finding them again. We eat at different times too, right? And others may not eat at the same time as us, so it's good for us to try to find people at different times when they're more likely to eat spiritual food. So if they're not up in the morning, we could try later on in the day, whatever works for them. And how soon should we follow up on interest? 2 weeks? Remember that tradition? 2 weeks? We'd call back in 2 weeks. Why did we have that tradition? Because we'd have new magazines to give them, right? But if we held to that tradition today, we'd be going back in 2 months. But we've been encouraged to call back within a day or two. Now, is that a new understanding? Well, there's an experience from the 1975 Watchtower, before most of you in this room were even born, and a publisher made a return visit on an interested person 1 hour after the initial call, and then in a little more than a week, 3 more return visits were made, and a Bible study was started. Third way we feed our neighbors is we want them to enjoy spiritual food, just as we want to enjoy our food. What does that take? It takes preparation, right? It takes preparation to enjoy a delicious meal. And so too, we need to prepare subjects that our neighbors will enjoy. Perhaps it's talking about family life, or an end to suffering, good government. And then when it comes to our Bible students, we also want to prepare well so that they will enjoy and benefit from the study. Have you ever turned to a lesson or a chapter in preparation for a Bible study and you find that it's already highlighted and you think to yourself, all right, I'm done already? You know, but that was highlighted, that was prepared for someone else. But with the new student, it will be the first time that we prepare it for them. Part of our neighbors enjoying our spiritual food is also taking into consideration a person's religious and cultural background. Just as they eat different types of food, they might also enjoy spiritual food presented differently. Colossians 4 and 6 says, "Let your words always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you should answer each person." Well, we have a lot of different types of persons in Edmonton and surrounding areas. Different religious backgrounds, different cultures, different backgrounds. So it's good for us to be familiar with the different types of persons we come into contact with so that we can prepare spiritual food that will appeal to them. And the fourth way that we feed our neighbors as ourselves in the ministry is that we appreciate variety in our diet. You know, none of us likes to eat the same old thing day after day, right? So neither should we use the same old presentation with every householder that we meet. So we've been encouraged to make good use of the variety of tools in our teaching toolbox, including the many videos. You see, when we use a video, more senses are involved, right? Because when we talk, they hear us. But when we use a video, they not only hear, but they see the kingdom message. Videos can touch hearts, hold their attention, and make a lasting impression. And the long version of Why Study the Bible? It's available in 910 languages. So it's good to anticipate some of the languages that we may come across in our territory in advance so that we can download those videos in advance. And brothers and sisters, you are to be commended because in our first round of visits, right, we've been trying to show videos to our neighbors when my wife and I have been visiting your congregations. And in the first visits to all of your congregations, 17 congregations in the circuit, you have shown 1,363 videos in the last 5 months. So in review, how do we feed our neighbors in the ministry as we feed ourselves? We make sure the message is based on the clean Word of God. We want our neighbors to enjoy regular meals, so we follow up soon, making return visits. We want our neighbors to enjoy spiritual food, so we prepare well, including for our Bible students. And we also appreciate variety, so we make good use of our teaching toolbox, including the videos. Now let's discuss four ways that we cherish our neighbors as ourselves in the ministry. Well, just as we care for our physical health, in the ministry, we care about the spiritual health of our neighbors. We want them to find comfort and hope. So in a practical way, each of us could have the goal of conducting at least one progressive Bible study. How do we do that? Well, of course, we would make that goal a matter of prayer, specifically asking Jehovah to help us reach that goal. And then we would work in harmony with that goal, preaching wherever people are found, offering Bible studies to our return visits, using the video, Why Study the Bible, or What Happens on a Bible Study. And then when we do find interest, we take the time to make good notes, return within a day or two to follow up on that interest. And how do we provide comfort to our neighbors? We keep our conversations and our presentations positive. Don't dwell on the bad news, but focus on the good news of the kingdom. And by being good listeners, we put ourselves in a better position to provide comfort as well. So, can you think right now of a specific neighbor, workmate, schoolmate, or unbelieving family member who's in need of comfort? Can you think of someone at work, in the family? Maybe they lost a loved one, or they're dealing with a health challenge of their own or a loved one. Think about it. Think about it on the way home. And why not make an effort to visit them or call them and share a message of comfort with them? The second way that we cherish our fellow man is that we protect ourselves from danger. We want to protect our Bible students and our children from danger. We do that by teaching them how to apply Bible principles. And so again, we're being reminded that with our Bible students, either from the territory or our own children, that even if they reach the point of baptism, we still complete a study of the Remain in God's Love book, because this emphasizes Bible principles that will protect them. We can teach our children and our Bible students how to do research using our website or the research guide. For example, are you concerned about your child's use of social media? Well, if you type in social media on JW.org, there's over 1,200 results. Third, we cherish our neighbor as ourselves by treating them with respect. You know, many people in society today are not treated with respect because of their economic status or their race. But how does Jehovah feel about them? Acts 10, 34 and 35. Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35. What did Peter say here? He said, "Now I truly understand that God is not partial. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." So regardless of how the world feels, Jehovah is not partial. We have the example of a brother named Don from Canada. He makes a special effort to speak to people who live on the streets. He said this, "A homeless man named Peter was one of the dirtiest men I had ever seen. He was obnoxious and had a knack for keeping people away from him. Still, off and on for more than 14 years, Don patiently tried to show kindness to this man. One day this Peter asked Don, 'Why do you bother with me? Everyone else just leaves me alone. Why do you care?' Well, Don read Peter Matthew 9 and 36, in which it says about Jesus, on seeing the crowds, Jesus felt pity for them because they were skinned and thrown about like sheep without a shepherd. With tears in his eyes, Peter said, 'Am I one of those sheep?' Peter began to change. He cleaned himself up. And he wrote his last comments to his family by saying, 'I'm not feeling well today. But even if this is my last day, I know that I will see my friend Don again in paradise. If you see a man at my funeral who does not seem to belong there, talk to him. And please read this little Bible study aid. It says that once again I will see my friend in paradise. I believe this with all my heart. Your loving brother, Peter.'" You know, many in the world look down on ones like Peter. But Jehovah doesn't. And neither do we, because we cherish our fellow man as ourselves. And the fourth way that we do that, cherishing others, is in imitation of Jesus by treating others with tenderness and understanding. So let's turn to that verse that Don used with Peter at Matthew 9 and verse 36. Matthew 9 and verse 36. It says, "On seeing the crowds, he felt pity for them, because they were skinned and thrown about like sheep without a shepherd." Did you notice it says, "On seeing the crowds, Jesus felt pity"? So before he heard anything, before he opened his mouth, Jesus opened his heart to people. We can do the same by showing empathy. Not only in what we say, but how we speak to people. Our choice of words, our tone of voice. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. We can also show understanding on when we call on our neighbors. If they tend to sleep in on the weekends, we can start with other forms of service like cart witnessing, approach work, business territory, and then call on them when they're awake. And how long should we stay at people's homes when we visit them? Well, it's better to leave when they want us to stay rather than stay when they want us to leave. So did you remember the four ways that we can cherish our fellow man as ourselves? Let's review. We care for our health. So we care for the spiritual health of our neighbors by trying to conduct a progressive Bible study. We protect our Bible students and our children from dangers by helping them to apply Bible principles and to do research. We treat everyone we meet with respect, with tenderness, and with understanding. We're now going to interview Brother Sal Marazzo from the Primrose Congregation. He was certainly helped to respond to the truth by the loving care and kindness shown to him. So Sal, in what ways were you shown loving personal interest?
22 years ago, my wife passed away at the age of 37 from a brain aneurysm, and I had 3 young children to care for. I cried in my room at night praying to God for help. At the time, I did not know Jehovah. The knock started coming to my door. The first and second time I said I was not interested. I then realized that Jehovah was sending the help. When I accepted a Bible study, I was shown loving, personal interest by many brothers and sisters for 17 years. They picked us up for meetings and invited my young family for meals at their homes.
Wow, Sal. How did this experience affect you?
I'm so happy that the brothers and sisters were persistent and did not give up on me. I'm so happy that Jehovah did not give up on me. I was baptized November 1st, 2014, 5 years ago.
Oh, thank you for sharing that experience. So how has your experience, Sal, motivated you to then show love to others?
Jehovah and his people have shown so much love to me that I want to show love back. I try to encourage all my brothers and sisters when they are feeling down. I am happy to pick up brothers and sisters and drive them to meetings, assemblies, and conventions. I have helped brothers and sisters move. I enjoy helping to clean at the Kingdom Halls, assembly halls, and conventions. I even enjoy shoveling snow for elderly brothers and sisters. Jehovah showed love and care for me first. So everything I do is for Jehovah. Each day, I try to look at the love and blessings Jehovah has given me.
Thank you so much, Sal, for those beautiful comments. Love of self comes naturally. However, love for fellow humans must be cultivated. But we can increase that love the more we practice it, the more we feed and cherish others. And such love can also move us to evaluate our circumstances and, if possible, make room for the pioneer work. And remember, friends, that circumstances change. See, our loving Jehovah with all our heart doesn't change, but our circumstances do. To illustrate, many airlines and healthcare providers warn women who are very late in their pregnancy against flying as it could cause complications during labor. Now that's a circumstance. But would a woman who's late in her pregnancy and she's told that she can't fly at the moment, would she think to herself, "Oh, great. Looks like I'm never going to be able to fly." Well, no. That would be ridiculous. Because in just a few days, a few weeks, a few months, her circumstances will change. It will give birth for her to have the opportunity to travel by plane. So similarly, maybe our current circumstances don't allow us to fly in the full-time ministry. Should we conclude then that I guess I'll never be able to pioneer? Well, no. We may be just a few weeks or months from circumstances that do allow us to enter the full-time service. And even if we don't have the circumstances that allow us to pioneer right now, our love for others will help us to be aglow with the Spirit, motivating us to do all that we can in the ministry. And if you're praying for an opportunity to expand your ministry? We have needs right here in Alberta Circuit 6. And if you're praying about it, then maybe you're an answer to our prayers. So please speak with me after the program during the day if you would like to know where you may be able to serve right within our circuit. So in review, our review question, how can we show love for our fellow man? The answer was found at Leviticus 19, verse 18, Ephesians 5, 29. We feed and cherish people in the ministry. We feed and cherish people in the ministry, treating them as we want to be treated, with respect, tenderness, and understanding. So our theme is love Jehovah with all your heart. We can prove that that's our determination by loving our fellow man as ourselves, by feeding and cherishing those we meet in the ministry.
Thank you, Brother Koivukoski. After reviewing those interesting comparisons, we see more clearly how to show love in our ministry.